Once there was a civilization, much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them.
Good evening, folks. Welcome back to the Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network. We're live Saturday night, August 7th, 2010. Welcome to the Light of Day show. I had a few private words with fellow radio talk show host and research associate of mine, John J.R. Moore, today. And he told me he wasn't going to be live on the air tomorrow, so for those of you tuning in to RBN and you don't find John on there live, it's because he's gone off to, I guess, help sell Crown Victoria cruisers for law enforcement. Anyway, we're playing a pre-recorded interview I did with Lucas from yesterday. We already have four segments done, and we'll be starting segment number five. There probably won't be much time left after I get all this done. And if you folks want to hear this in its entirety, ad-free, the raw, unedited, high-quality version of this, I'll have that posted on my Archives Miscellaneous subpage after the show concludes. And this is on top of just, you know, the regular weekly show archive that I post on my homepage. And the reason I'm doing a pre-recorded with Lucas is because, you know, it was incredibly hard to get this guy to even come on my show. I've been working on this for a few months. So I took the opportunity, and he was all set to do it yesterday morning. We went ahead and did it. Just for a sneak preview, I might re-interview Gilbert Erickson next week, and I had a long chat with him today. He's got an interesting theory about what the spirals are that are being seen. The latest one was near Australia somewhere, but he believes this may be caused by Wormwood's inbound passage. Anyway, we're going to go back to the Lucas pre-recorded interview. This is segment number five now. There's seven segments total, so please enjoy, folks. I was talking to a guy up in Canada the other day. His name's Daniel Towsey. And he told me that like 2.5 months ago, all the USGS stations around the entire planet recorded either a 2.5 or a 3.0. Stations picked this up, and it wasn't widely reported. Have you heard about that?
No, I hadn't, actually.
All right. Your take on the Denver airport is pretty interesting as well. I don't know if you got to hear any of these sound bites I've created, but you're in these sound bites that are posted on my website, and on one of them you mentioned about the roof and the steel poles at the Denver airport. Can you mention that again?
Well, the the roof of that place is made out of a very high-tech material, like a Kevlar material made by NASA, and you know, it's why would they need that, for one? And you know, he does it on this giant, it's like a big tent, you know, and these big metal tent poles. It's almost like the, you know, I can't verify this, but I mean, it almost looks like they're trying to stop electromagnetic pulses, you know, because those big those big metal poles are grounded, obviously, so that would be a way to ground out the electromagnetic pulse if there were large ones coming in. So, you know, it's just theory, but, you know, obviously they spent a lot of money on that roof for some reason, probably to bounce incoming objects. Because it doesn't even matter if an asteroid hits. If something hits, like, say, in Chicago, you know, something big, you know, maybe a couple football fields across, that thing is still going to blow debris in all directions. You know, and that debris is going to come back down raining onto the planet. So, you know, they're probably trying to protect themselves against projectiles.
Yeah, I brought up your very interesting theory there about the roof at the Denver airport with my friend Bart Sabrell in Nashville. He's the guy that's went around and exposed all these hollow moon astronauts. Swearing on the Bible that they really went to the moon. Well, anyway, I told Bart about your theory, and he says, yeah, it says in the Bible that there's going to be like 75 or 100 pound hailstones coming down, and you know, maybe that roof at the airport's designed to withstand that.
Yeah, it also says in the Bible that in the end times that the nations of the world will flee to the mountains too. And so it's and that's also a scene. It's also a scene in the murals there at the airport. You know, see, I believe that there are different factions of people. Obviously, people don't get along about everything. Just like this event, you got different elites up there who don't agree with different ways of how to manage this whole event. Okay, you have so many elites now. You just don't have, you know, you got a handful of people on the top, but you've got, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people right underneath them who have a lot of decision-making power. And, you know, they all don't agree on how this should end. Some of them are, you know, agree on eugenics base of things. Others are thinking about, you know, the future of humanity. It's just, there's so many different facets to it. And, you know, so where I was going with this is that, you know, nobody really knows what's going to happen out of this. Is just it could literally change humanity to where we go back to the Stone Age, or it could just you know, I don't think it's going to wipe out humanity. I just think that you know, it's going to change the way that things are tremendously.
Well, yeah, that's why I think they pose all these different disasters on these movies, is because they themselves don't know how bad it's going to get. And maybe I've also heard Dave Hodges, the talk show host on RBN, mention that there is an inner war within the elite going on. There may be more truth to that.
Oh yeah, it's a eugenics war. Certain people believe that races need to be separated, and other people believe that races need to be mixed. It's a basic philosophy that goes to the core of humanity, and you can see it in everyday people. You can see that certain people get, all right, like for instance, let's go throughout all the Bush family and all the big corporation families. They keep within themselves. They never breed with other people outside of the flock, outside of their little flock. And you have the other people who totally believe in mixing all the genes, and that the human race will be better if we're all just one big mixture of genes. So you have this inner war going on between these two different factions, basically, that believes that the races need to be separated into the four basic categories of white, brown, black, and yellow, and the other that believes that it needs to be all mixed. And that's where the big part of the inner conflict comes from, I believe.
Yeah, I actually remember a broadcast Professor Jim McCanny did. I think it was back in 2008. He mentioned that Bush had purchased that tremendous amount of land down there in Paraguay, and McCanny was looking at some, I think it was Google Earth images of that area, and he was, initially it was showing like some type of piping coming up off the surface where he had purchased that land, and then all of a sudden they blotted that out, or it wasn't showing on the satellite images anymore.
Yeah, well, it's a good place to be, you know, nestled in the Andes Mountains there, protect you from, you know, pretty big waves and that sort of thing. And, you know, I find it interesting that the capital of Georgia is Atlanta, and it just happens to have a beach right there close to the area where I believe Atlantis was. And they built the Georgia Guidestones in Georgia, you know. It's very interesting. Very interesting coincidence.
Now, they got this new TV show they just launched here called The Colony. Have you heard of it? Seen that?
Yeah, I've seen it.
We are young, we're getting old before our time. We'll leave the TV and the radio behind. And don't you wonder what we'll find? Stamp it out tonight.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to The Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, on the Orion Talk Radio Network. Going into pre-recorded segment number 6 with Lucas from yesterday now.
All right. Let me give you, for instance, there was one show that came out where this guy, Apocalypse Man, I think it was called. Okay, in the show, he shows you how to hotwire a car. Okay, and the things he's telling you there, you know, some of them are good that I can see would be beneficial, but others probably not so beneficial. And so this guy, he goes and he hotwires a truck and jumps in and takes off. He shows you what wires to cut and put together and everything, right? But what he doesn't tell you is that any car made after the early 70s is going to have a locking steering mechanism, and you can't drive a car off. You can't even hotwire a car. You have to break the steering mechanism in order to do that. And he doesn't show you that, and yet he gets in a vehicle that obviously has a steering mechanism and acts like he's hotwiring it and then drives off. You know, it's crazy. You got to be able to get that steering mechanism unloosened somehow. So I don't know whether some of this stuff. And he also tells you in here, he's like, set up a radio to where you can call out to other people. And I don't necessarily know that that's a good idea, because, I mean, there's going to be people out there looking for supplies. You know, and if you got supplies and you're out there sending a signal out, you know, and they find you, they're liable to try and take your stuff. So, you know, some of this stuff might not be so good. And, you know, I've seen The Colony. I've seen it the last year it was out. So what was it? 2009, I believe it came out. And,
there was one that came out last year, too?
Yeah. The Colony's already been out. I've already seen it.
Oh, well, I was just previewing it for my audience on my show that they were going to be putting out this Colony show the latter part of last month, but I didn't know they've aired it in the past.
Yeah, it was on for, I think, maybe 4 or 5 episodes last year. It's basically a bunch of people that they take them and they put them, and they take a whole section of a city, I think it's Los Angeles somewhere, and basically, you know, they have this whole big section, and they put them in there, and they put them in different disaster scenarios, and, like, dealing with other people trying to come and steal their stuff, and how to trade with other groups of bandits and things like that. And, you know, it's a post-apocalyptic show, and so that's why I believe that they're, you know, if they didn't want to, it's a very sticky situation for the government, okay? Here the government wants to protect its borders and protect its citizens. At the same time, it can't just come right out and tell everybody, because that would be the worst possible thing, because then everybody would riot, and then, you know, we'd already go into the cosmic event with a collapsed society. So it's a really a catch-22 situation there, where they, you know, can't really come out and say this, but at the same time, they don't want they don't want all the American citizens getting wiped out and China coming over here and stomping on our soil.
Have you heard about this thermal hailing conveyor? The Gulf Stream is essentially shut down, and we could see an ice age in Western Europe this year now?
Well, we're due. I mean, we are due. When they started talking about global warming, I started laughing. I'm old enough. I'm 41. I'm old enough to remember back when I was a kid. I was very, very, very interested. One of the things that sparked me into this was seeing the newspaper ads when I was a kid of the ice age coming in the 70s. And, you know, it sparked my interest into that, and I looked at, you know, when you look at the ice core data, you can clearly see that these things come in a rhythm, that there's, it's like a heartbeat almost. And so, yeah, we are due. I mean, we're going into an ice age, is what I believe, an 80,000-year period of cold on this planet.
Well, what I meant was, you don't think what's going on in the Gulf there with that oil disaster shut down the Gulf Stream? You actually think that was climate change from the cosmic event?
Yeah, no, I don't think that oil had anything to do with the current shutting down. I mean, I could be wrong, but I rather doubt that would have an influence. There's been bigger oil spills in the past, not caused by humans. You know, earthquakes that open up fissures that you know, unleash whole wells into the ocean.
Oh, great point.
You know, that haven't caused ice ages in the past. So I rather doubt that would be something that would shut off the current.
You may actually be right, Lucas, because 2 years ago when John Moore put that DVD out, he mentioned that North Atlantic thermal hailing conveyor was slowing down and that it was eventually going to shut down, and now we're seeing that. So.
Oh, yeah. It's been shutting down for years. And you know, another aspect of this is the weight of the glaciers. As the glaciers melt, okay, now imagine back during Meltwater Pulse 1A. If all of a sudden billions and billions of gallons of water, right, all of a sudden flash melted out of the glaciers, all that weight that was on those mountains that have been pushed down by the glaciers is released, and all of a sudden mountains would literally spring up within probably days and weeks. You know, because of the fact that weight. And whenever those mountains spring up, other places are going to have sinkholes. You know, that's probably what's going on with the sinkholes. As I bet you, if we do research into this without even having done any research into this, I bet you we can find a lot of places on the planet right now that are growing much faster than normal. Mountains and things like that are moving very fast. And I have a feeling that that's what's causing the sinkholes, is as land in one place pushes up, other places go down. Well, it's just an interesting time. You know, we are the generation that's witnessing something that hasn't happened in a long, long, long time. All these events going on, you know, everything, there's just too many to list. We could sit here for 3 hours just talking about events related to this. And then all of a sudden this giant spiral appears in the sky over Norway, and they want to tell us it's a Russian rocket. And I just think I'm not going to buy it because of the fact that I've seen too many spirals in the past, you know, and the petroglyphs. And those people back then spent a lot of time carving those spirals into some hard granite, and you just don't do that. People just don't do that for nothing. The spiral affected their life in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, I suspect that it wasn't very good because they spent a lot of time doing this to try and warn us, most likely, of the spiral. And, you know, you had another spiral appear over China and another one over
Australia.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting that Mother Shipton in her prophecy says a fiery dragon shall cross the sky 6 times before this earth will die. Well, is that what we're seeing with these spirals? Is that the fiery dragon crossing the sky 6 times? Because we're up to 3 now, if that's the case.
Do you think the spirals are an actual physical manifestation or some type of metaphysical projection?
Okay, folks, we're going to be coming into our break.
We're at the bottom of the hour here. Sorry, I had two streams playing there. Anyway, you're listening to Light of Day on the Orion Talk Radio Network with your host, Sheldon Day. We'll be back in a few minutes to wrap this up. Stay tuned, folks. Folks, welcome back to the Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, from the monsoon-stricken Sonora Desert in Tucson, Arizona, and my God, it is pouring out like crazy right now here. We're live Saturday night, August 7th, 2010. We're going to wrap up the last segment of this pre-recorded interview with Lucas now. Here it is, folks.
Well, to be honest, I don't know what it is, but it's not a Russian rocket. It looks to me to be something in space interacting with the sun. That's what I'm gathering from the Norway spiral.
Yeah, I don't buy that BS either about a Russian rocket. I mean, this stuff is carved in the ancient rock.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have Russian rockets back when they made those petroglyphs all over the world. And if you look at the map where that scientist had mapped out all the petroglyphs, with the spirals in it, you'll notice that a good portion of them, the majority of them, are up in mountains. So it was like when the people had to run to the mountains to escape the ocean, they spent their time in caves carving out these spirals because they really didn't have anything to do. They were stuck there, afraid, scared, and all they could do is put what they saw on the sides of these caves. That's what I'd be doing if I was stuck in a cave right now dealing with a spiral in the sky flooding the world. I'd be there carving a spiral into the rock.
Well, on a different topic here, I don't know if you got to see this, but you know who Robert S. Harrington was, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in my research, I found out that there were at least two other men that were linked to that U.S. Naval Observatory that also died of cancer. And one of these other guys was also on the research in binary stars.
Yeah, you're going to have that. It's definitely a prospect of getting involved in this because, you know, you got groups of people who don't want people knowing, period. You know, there's certain groups of people up there who don't want anybody knowing, They've got some power.
Well, do you personally think that Heaven's Gates cult was suicided when Hale Bopp was coming through our system?
I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't. You know, I try my best to what I know. So I don't. I couldn't begin to imagine what happened in the whole situation.
All right. Fair enough. Well. Hey, we just about have 1 hour up here. I'll let you go because I know you need to prepare to do another show over there on, what is it, the Intel Hub today?
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate you coming on board, Lucas, and we'll be in touch.
Okay. All right, great. Well, it was good to talk to you.
Okay, thanks, Lucas. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks.
Okay, folks, so that's the pre-recorded interview concluding finally that I did with Lucas from yesterday. I guess we'll finish this half hour with whatever I have in front of me here. I did want my audience to know that I'm going to actually be reposting the Intel Hub radio show from the American Freedom Radio Network onto my archives miscellaneous subpage. What's his name? Danny Romero at American Freedom Radio. He sent me a higher quality recording of that Intel Hub radio show. They interviewed Lucas and Dr. Jason Rand on there yesterday. I'm sort of a sound quality fanatic, if you will. So I'll be posting a higher quality 128 kilobyte per second bitrate archive of that tonight or sometime tomorrow. Like I said, I talked to privately to John Moore on the phone today, and he won't be doing a live broadcast tomorrow. He's attending some type of thing where he has to help sell Crown Victoria cruisers to law enforcement, I guess. Anyway, our big event here this last week was a massive solar storm. The sun is finally waking up from its deep slumber. Got some quick factoids on that. On Sunday, we had a C3 class solar flare erupt off the sun, and the origin of this blast was sunspot number 1092. I'm looking at spaceweather.com now today. It's actually showing that there's four sunspots on the sun. Now, at the same time this eruption on the sun happened, an enormous magnetic filament also erupted, and a shadowy shockwave called a solar tsunami can be seen emerging from the solar flare site and rippling across the northern hemisphere into the magnetic filament's eruption zone, which may have helped propel the filament out in towards Earth. This coronal mass ejection hit on Tuesday of this week, and this was a violent space weather storm wave, which hit us and created a spectacular auroras as far south as Iowa here in the United States. The C3 class solar flare that erupted from sunspot 1092 is actually the same size as our planet. That's quite a big sunspot. So we had tons of plasma head our way. And this plasma was going like 2,232,000 miles an hour, I believe. It's amazing how fast that stuff ripples through space. But the big concern with this eruption on the sun was this all happened on the Earth-facing side of the sun. And I was trying to do some research here before the show started, trying to find out when the second coronal mass ejection was slated to hit Earth. I think it actually hit on Thursday. So if you folks want to research that and get back to me, I'd appreciate it. Spaceweather.com, folks, is a pretty good site to keep up with what's going on the sun. I see here there was a strong solar flare that from today. It says magnetic fields around sunspot 1093 erupted, producing a strong M1 class solar flare. Now, an M class, folks, is more severe than a C class, which happened 6 days ago. So now we have a strong M1 class solar flare. Several amateur astronomers caught the active region in mid-eruption. The blast hurled a coronal mass ejection into space. The cloud is not heading directly toward Earth, but it might deliver a glancing blow to our planet's magnetic field 2 or 3 days hence. High latitude sky watchers should be alert for auroras again, folks. So you figure here maybe on Monday or Tuesday we'll be seeing some more auroras. Now there's also a solar wind stream flowing from an indicated coronal hole that could reach Earth on the 8th or 9th. That would be tomorrow or Monday. So, as these events are unfolding, we could be seeing some severe microbursts of severe weather as well. Professor Jim McCanny, he's more in tune with that stuff than I am because I just don't have the time to research all that in depth. But also, NASA is currently tracking 1,141 potentially hazardous asteroids. And I usually look at this daily and... Well, there's the break, folks. We'll be back. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Light of Day and Orion with your host, Sheldon Day. We'll be back. Welcome back to The Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network, Saturday night, August 7th, 2010. Well, sure enough, during the break, I found something here that answered my question. This is a YouTube video. NASA states that the main solar wave to hit August 5th. NASA has said that the main wave will hit on August 5th. So that would have been 2 days ago. What we had on the 3rd and the 4th was a geomagnetic storm, which triggered nice auroras over the South Pole. So there's that. We also have some more sinkholes to report, folks. My friend John in Milwaukee reported that there was a sinkhole in Milwaukee. And I'm trying to find a date here. Well, anyway, while I'm bringing that up, I discovered that there is a sinkhole in South Carolina. That was dated yesterday. Let me bring up this other one here quick. Here we go. There was a sinkhole in Colorado Springs that sort of baffled the authorities around there back on May 29th. Then there was one on July 19th in southeast Kansas City. And then another... one in Colorado Springs again on August 2nd, so that would have been 5 days ago. Now I see this one in South Carolina from yesterday. I'm going to open that one up. Just hang on, folks, while I open this link. It is worth reading. We do need to know where all these sinkholes are popping up, because they're popping up all over the place. The article is... News Channel.
The person whom you're trying to reach.
Okay, well, this is the studio at Orion Talk Radio. It seems that Sheldon's internet has become a problem and he is gone. So, what we're going to do is we're going to try to fill the time till we get to the top of the hour. I have no idea what he was going to talk about. But we'll do our best here to cover until he comes back, if in fact he does. So just hang on, folks, for just a moment. Of course, this kind of thing happens from time to time. It seems that he is just completely gone and that his internet is probably dropped on him. And who knows? Apparently he said there were some severe storms or rain or something going on. And who knows? He's using probably ADSL, which is not very reliable. Trust me, as the owner of this network and host of other shows, I can tell you that DSL is not very reliable, particularly when when there's lightning and thunder in the area. So hopefully we'll get Sheldon back here in a moment. before we get to the end of the program, because we still have about 5-6 minutes to cover. So I'm sitting here and I'm winging it, so bear with me for a second. We have some other shows on this network that you might be interested in case you only tune in on Sunday or late Saturday, as it is in Sheldon's case, out west. We're here in the northeast of the United States. So it is Sunday, and it's like 10 minutes or 8 minutes to 2 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, brand new show just starting on the network. Came on last Sunday. It's great. It comes on from 7 to 9 Eastern. It's called Question 46. John Preston and Jeff Covington host that show. It's a fascinating program. Also, we have the Stand Up America radio program that follows my show, Radio X, on Sundays. My show's on 1 to 3 Eastern, and then Kerry and his program, Stand Up America Radio, comes on at 3 o'clock for 1 hour for the time being. We may move that to 2 hours. Also, as you hear Sheldon from time to time talking about his friend John DiNardo. John DiNardo has hooked up with us, and we are now broadcasting his show every Sunday night from 9 o'clock till 10, and then we rebroadcast it early in the morning for you folks out in the West Coast who may not be able to catch it early. We bring it to you again at 2 o'clock in the morning Monday. So I have no idea what's going on here. Let's see. We have somebody on the line here. Is there somebody on the phone in the 618 area code? Are you there?
Hi, Jimmy. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Who's this?
This is Jeff, bud.
Jeff, how are you, sir?
You were just talking about the show. Hey, I heard the commercial tonight. That's that was awesome. You did a good job.
Thank you. Well, you know, we're on the air, Jeff.
Yeah, I know, bud. That's why I called in. I thought I'd help you fill in that last 5 minutes.
Hey, I appreciate that. There's a whole bunch of people listening in, and unfortunately we lost Sheldon. He has actually gone completely away, Jeff. So I don't know.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you what, if you don't mind, I just want to let everybody know that tomorrow we have a special guest on Question 46. We got John Jensen, the writer, producer, director of the internet sensation movie Land of the Free. He's going to be on air with us tomorrow.
Great. And again, your show's on from 7 to 9 Eastern Time, 6 to 8 Central. And, of course, I don't have my handy-dandy time zone calculator with me, so you'll have to just figure out where you are.
That would be 6 to 8 Central Time.
I said that. I said that that's as far as I'll go. Because I have no idea. I just can't keep up with that. People are like, well, I logged in, but nobody was there. Well, you logged in at 7 o'clock in California? Yeah, well, of course not. But anyway, you know how that goes. Anyway, no, I'm glad you like the commercial. Also, too, you and I are going to speak before the show tomorrow. John and I are going to speak. Because we have to do things a little differently in the interim until we get the PBX set up here at the network to get a call queue and all that. So we'll discuss that tomorrow, so we're going to make sure that you and I and John talk. Okay?
Absolutely.
What else you got going on? I understand, too, that your show's been picked up by Militia Radio. That's great. I haven't been able to have a chance to speak with the owner of that network at this point, but I'm sure we're going to be speaking very soon because this is great, and the more stations out there, if there's anybody listening who has their own micro station is picking up these broadcasts, I'd like to know who you are, and I'd like to make sure that we document you, and you document us as well on your website and things, so that we can, so we all know who's out there listening. That's certainly going to help everybody out.
Yeah, I agree. Got to keep track of everything. I'll tell you what I did today. Which I'll probably bring up on the show a little bit tomorrow.
Okay.
But I was out driving around. I took my boys out shooting. I bought them Ruger 10/22s for their birthdays. I got twin boys.
Okay.
And we're out in the country driving around, coming back to my buddy's house. And there's an older guy. He's pulling some stuff out of his garage and putting it out in front of his house. So I whip it around there, bust a U-turn. I pull in. For $65, I picked up a propane-fed turkey deep fryer, kerosene heater, some ammo cans. I was just like totally playing American Pickers today. It was awesome. I was the first one in his house. So I definitely want to talk about that kind of stuff on the show tomorrow, too, if we get time.
Great. And again, the show is Question 46. and it airs Sundays from 7 to 9 Eastern Time, 6 to 8 Central, right here on the Orion Talk Radio Network. Well, Jeff, we managed to cover up to the top of the hour here.
Excellent.
I appreciate you calling in and hanging out with us.
Anytime, Jimmy.
All right, Jeff.
I'll talk to you tomorrow, bud.
All right, Jeff Covington from the show Question 46. He and co-host John Preston on the air tomorrow evening, again, from 7 to 9 Eastern Time. Well, I'm sure that Sheldon will work out his little problems with the Internet, and he will be back with us again next week. So those of you who tuned in this evening, thank you very much for listening, and you have yourself a great night. We'll talk to you soon.